Chapter 3. Jim and Patuson. We met again in Bangkok, and we left town together the next day on my ship. Some weeks after this, we arrived at a port where a good friend of mine, Stein, lived. That evening I decided to ask his advice about Jim. Stein was a wealthy and respected businessman who dealt in buying and selling a great deal of rare butterflies. He was also one of the most trustworthy men I had ever known. He saw the solution to our problem at once. "My trading post, in Patuson," he said. "My man there, Cornelius, needs to be replaced. He's no good, and I think he's been stealing from me. I don't think he would leave, as he has a daughter there, but I could let him keep his house and start Jim in a new place." I should explain that Patuson is a native-ruled state, populated mainly with Malaysian, with a main town 40 miles from the sea, in the middle of a forest, with two large hills overlooking it. 3 days after our conversation, Jim started on his journey there. He was given a small silver ring by Stein, with the instructions to find a chief called Doramin. His last words to me before he left were, "I promise to look after myself." Jim arrived at a small fishing village called Batu Kring, from where he asked his way to Patuson. On arrival, Jim soon discovered that there were three powers there. The first he met was the Raja, a dishonest ruler who was immediately scared of Jim and had him put in prison. Jim escaped quickly, jumping over the walls of his jail and then swimming a river to safety. On arrival at the next village, he had just enough breath in his body to say, "Doramin, Doramin." They carried him off to their leader. Jim showed him the ring given to him by Stein, and was allowed into the heart of the community. Doramin, a huge fat man, was the leader of the Bugis, a race of intelligent and courageous men. They were opposed to the Raja, who used his power badly to steal from the poor. Doramin had a son, Dane Warris, who he was very proud of. He was about 25 years old and respectful to his parents. He and Jim soon became great friends. The third power in Patuson was a fanatic Muslim bandit called Sheriff Ali. He terrorized the population of Patuson from his fort on top of one of the hills. The Bugis were very afraid of their two neighbors, but Jim realized soon after his arrival that he had the power to make peace. It was Dane Warris who was the first to believe in his plan, and with his help, Jim was able to convince Doramin that the sheriff should be attacked. It was during my only visit to Patuson, when we were standing on one of the hills overlooking the city, that Jim told me all about the attack. "It all started here," Jim told me. On the other hill, the remains of Sheriff Ali's fort could still be seen. He had taken two of Doramin's small cannons and put them on top of the hill. "Getting them here was the difficult thing," he said. On the night of the action, Jim had been rushing up and down the hill like a squirrel, directing, helping, and watching. Old Doramin had himself carried up to the top of the hill so he could watch the attack. But Sheriff must have thought we were mad, because he didn't come to see what we were doing. When the cannons were in place, Jim left the responsibility of firing them to two old Bugis men, and then he went to join Dane Warris to lead the attack. As soon as the first rays of sunshine could be seen, the cannons were fired. The top of one hill was covered in smoke, and from the other came the noise of shouts and screams. Jim and Dane Warris were the first to get to the fort and force their way past the gates. The third man in was Tam Itam, Jim's own servant. There was a hot 5 minutes of fighting before somebody set the fort on fire and everyone had to escape. That was the last we saw of Sheriff Ali. After that, the excitement in Patuson was very great. "You must have enjoyed it," I replied. "It was amazing." After this, Jim became very famous, and he was the most powerful man in the area. And so I should also mention the other thing I found out about Jim during my visit, and that was his love. Jim called her Jewel. She had skin the color of olives, was both shy and confident. She would often just sit and listen to us talk, her big clear eyes watching our mouths. Her mother, a half Dutch, half Malaysian, had taught her to read and write, and she had learnt English from Jim. They had soon met after Jim's arrival. He had left the safety of Doramin's house and gone to live with Cornelius, a miserable old man, and the stepfather of Jewel, who was Mr. Stein's representative before Jim arrived. Jim was not safe living there, because Sheriff Ali wanted him dead, but he sympathized with Jewel and did not want to leave her alone with Cornelius. Eventually there was an attempt to kill Jim. He told me how he was woken up one night by Jewel. Get up, she told me. I jumped to my feet and she gave me my revolver. She asked, can you face four men with this? I laughed and said, yes, of course, command me. They are waiting in one of the buildings. She led me to the house where the men were waiting. I walked into the main room but could see no one. Fire! Defend yourself! Jewel cried. There's nobody here, I replied, and then I saw a pair of eyes. Come out, I ordered. The man jumped out and ran towards me, holding a sword. I raised my arm, aimed and fired, and the man's head flew backwards and fell to the floor. I only realized later that I had shot him through the mouth. I stepped over the dead body and pointed the gun at another man, but just as I was about to fire, the man threw down his sword and stood up. How many more of you? Two more, Tuan. The other two came out, their hands empty. I walked them away towards the river. Finally, I stopped and told them, give my greetings to Sheriff Ali until I come myself. Now jump. The three men jumped into the river with a splash. I decided after this that action must be taken against Sheriff. The event had brought the two of them closer. Jewel had saved Jim's life, and afterwards, Jim told her he would never leave her. But when I met her on that short trip, she seemed to be worried about something. Her mother had also fallen in love with a white man, and before she died, she had, with tears in her eyes, warned Jewel to be careful, that the white men would always return to their own world. One evening when I was alone with Jewel, and she told me, I don't want to cry dying. Why have you come here? Do you want him? Don't worry, I don't want him. No one wants him. I shall go tomorrow, and that is the end. The world you don't know about is too big to miss him. Do you understand? It's too big. You've got his heart in your hand. You must know that. Yes, I know that, but why does nobody want him? You want to know? Yes, she cried. Because he is not good enough, I said. That is the same thing he said. You lie! She started to cry and I realized it was no use trying to explain. I heard somebody coming towards us, so I left her alone. The night was beautiful and I found a quiet, peaceful place by the river to stand and think. The moon shone through a gap in the trees. It felt strange to be leaving my friend behind, but I had decided that I should never come back here. The silence was broken by Cornelius, who came over to me like a rat and began asking me all sorts of questions. We started to talk about Jewel, and it became clear that he saw her as a possession of his, and so if Jim was to be allowed to marry the girl, Cornelius should be given some money in return. When Jim leaves, I can look after her for a small present. That time will not come, I told him, because Jim is not going to be leaving. He will never go home. Ha ha ha, she laughed. We shall see, we shall see. Steal from me? She is like her mother, a devil. I walked away from the disgusting little man. As I left, I heard him say, no more than a child, a stupid fool. The next day, as Jim and I were sailing down the river, leaving Patsuan behind me, I had completely forgotten about Cornelius's bitterness. The place was like a picture, which I could look at for a time and leave, and then on my return it would be the same. I was turning away from the picture and was going back to the other world where things change. But I could not imagine any changes to this place. The enormous Doramin with his dreams for his son, Dane Warris, intelligent, friendly and brave, absolutely faithful to Jim. The girl, totally hypnotized by her love of Jim, and miserable, pathetic Cornelius. They were like statues, unmoving. But the man who they revolved around was